O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Amen. After he was baptized, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Every year we begin Lent with one gospel writer's account of this story. Jesus going into the wilderness where he is tempted by the devil for 40 days. We read this at the beginning of Lent because in some ways the experience of Jesus is analogous to our Lenten journey of 40 days in which we seek to walk with Jesus as we prepare to join him in his death and resurrection at Easter. And so we begin our Lenten journey with Jesus in the wilderness. At times, this has been hard for me to understand, because in so many ways, the wilderness calls to me. I love the idea of the wilderness. When I go on vacation, I want to go out into nature, to hike or ski, especially to be in the mountains, away in the quiet of the wild. I dream of being able to take off weeks to be in nature, away from the rush and busyness that fills the days of our modern life. But I think I really like the idea of the wilderness, because yet this is not what Scripture actually means by the wilderness. For the first hearers of this passage, the wilderness was where their ancestors were lost for 40 years. It was the place where they went when they escaped slavery in Egypt. But just after they escaped, they were afraid that they would die because there was nothing to eat in the wilderness. And God provided them manna from heaven to eat, and so they never went hungry, even though they were lost for 40 years, for an entire generation. It was also in that wilderness that God gave Moses the Torah, the way of life, the greatest gift of God for the Jews. For these first hearers of this passage, the wilderness was a scary place, but it was also a place of transition, a place of trial, but a place where they learned to be who they were. I believe the truth is that we all spend time in the wilderness. It's a place that we try hard to avoid, a place that we don't go voluntarily. But it's a place that we learn about who we are, and maybe more importantly, who God is. It's the place that we learn that God will not leave us. It's the place that we learn that God will provide. It's the place that we meet God and become prepared for what God has for us to do in this world. And this is true of the time that Jesus spends in the wilderness as well. In so many ways, I've always struggled to understand this passage. I've often been confused by the different temptations that the devil gives to Jesus. For starters, each one begins with, "If you were the Son of God." Well, Jesus is the Son of God, so why is this a temptation? And yet, just as it was in the wilderness that the Israelites learned who they were, it seems that it is in the wilderness that Jesus truly has to learn to live into who he is. Jesus was fully human and fully divine. He was the Son of God and fully enfleshed as a human being as we are. He was capable of commanding legions of angels, and he was experiencing severe hunger because he hadn't eaten in 40 days. And in the wilderness, he had to learn to live in that dual reality of what it meant to be fully human and fully divine. But remember, even though God, who became human in Jesus, is omnipotent or fully powerful and sovereign in our world, this God is also the God who is completely and totally love. This God is one whose power is only lived and expressed in one and only way, which is love. And the devil's temptations asked the God of the universe to use his power in twisted ways, test who he was and who he was going to be as this fully human incarnate person on this earth. He tested how he would use the power of being human and divine, how he would command the forces of the world when he was experiencing the same desires and needs of being human that we face every day as we live this life. At the beginning, we are told that Jesus has fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and that he is famished. And so the first temptation is to turn stones into bread. Now, I'll be honest, this is one of the temptations that has always confused me. At other times, God has provided manna miraculously and let water flow out of a rock for his people. Why not just turn stones into bread to satiate his own hunger? And yet I think we have something to learn about the God of love, that as a human, he will not change creation to satisfy his own needs. Rocks were made to be part of creation just as they are. And he chooses not to use his own powers to make them into something different to satisfy his own desires. How often are we tempted to do the same? How often are we willing to sit with our own unmet desires? Or how often do we try to manipulate something or someone so that we can find a way to get what we want? This week, as I was listening to the news that Harvey Weinstein was found guilty of sexually assaulting multiple women, I was struck by one report that spoke about his response to the verdict. The reporter said that he was shocked because he still could not believe that all of the women had not consented to have sex with him. Despite dozens of women accusing him of assault, he could not imagine that all of them had not consented. He was unable to see all of these women as anything other than an object of his own desires to such an extent that he had become unable to separate his own desires from their desires, unable to distinguish his own good from their good. I realize that this is an extreme case, a case of extremes and twisted desires, and also a case of extremes in power and wealth that allowed severe abuse and assault to continue for so long. But as I began to delve into this passage, I couldn't help but think of the connection to use our own human tendency and temptation to use God's creation for our own desires. It made me wonder, do we do this in our own small ways? Do we use our own power and privilege to manipulate other things and people to fulfill our own wishes, rather than honoring what they were created for, what they need? Are we able to separate our own desires from the needs of and desires of others? Are we able to allow our own desires to go unmet for a time in order to really sit and listen to find out what others may need or desire? I wonder if Lent is in fact a time for us to make space for this. Not to give up things just so we can go without something, but to make space for the other good creations of God to live into their fullness. Perhaps this Lent could be a time for us to examine how we use the power that we do have, the privileges we have been given, and whether we use them for our own gain, or whether we use them to make this world more like God intends it to be, whether we use them to make all of this creation more fully alive. And perhaps giving up something is not the best way for you to practice making space this Lent. Perhaps there's another practice that helps you search your own soul to explore who you are and who God is calling you to be in this season, and how you will use, as Mary Oliver says, your one wild and precious life on this earth. I admit it's a hard thing to make space for this. It's a hard thing to consider listening and perhaps not using whatever small amount of power we have for ourselves and our own gain. It's a deeply vulnerable thing to realize that there are limits to what we can do, and to even willingly give up what we have for the good of others. And yet I do believe it's what we are asked to do. It is fundamentally what it is to be human. In many ways, I believe it is what we do as we walk this journey with Jesus to follow him. The truth is that we often will end up in the wilderness in our lives when we cannot avoid it. But in Lent, we as a community choose to examine our lives, to embrace fully our humanity as Jesus did, so that we can live more fully into the mystery of death and new life that he brings us. We started this season on Wednesday by remembering that we are dust, and to dust we will return. And we spend this journey going inward, remembering and knowing our limits, knowing our humanity and all of its fragility, allowing ourselves to be hungry, allowing God to provide for us and to teach us who we are, learning that God is always with us and will never leave us, learning more deeply who we are and who God is calling us to be. Just before this passage we read today, just before Jesus set off into the wilderness, Jesus was baptized by his cousin John in the Jordan River. In that moment, as he came out of the water, a dove flew over and a voice from heaven called down saying, "This is my son, the beloved." It's so important for us to remember that as Jesus went out into the wilderness on this journey where he was tested, where he learned who he was and where he was provided for, it was this experience he carried with him. It was that voice reminding him who he was, the beloved. In the wilderness, Jesus was hungry. He was vulnerable. He was tempted to use his power to manipulate, to use it for things other than love. But ringing through his ears still was that deeper knowledge of who he truly was. He was the beloved. And so are we. In this journey of Lent, we too are the beloved. So often we want our belovedness to shield us from being vulnerable. We want to believe that if God loves us so much, God will protect us from danger, that God will rescue us when tragedy strikes. But that is not the life of the beloved. As we see in the road to the cross, which is where the journey of Lent leads, but perhaps it was in the wilderness after his baptism that Jesus learned what it was to truly be the beloved in the depths of human vulnerability. And I believe that this is something we can learn on this journey of Lent as well. As we walk this journey of Lent, we wander into the wilderness with Jesus and learn who we are and who God is. And we are reminded that God is always and forever with us, and always and forever loving us. We wrestle deeply in this season with who we are as humans, people with power and privilege for sure, who have a responsibility to use that power to join the work of God in this world. At the same time, we are people with incredible limits to what we can control in this world. We are deeply vulnerable people, reminded that our life is fragile despite all of our best efforts to make it not true. And through all of this, in all of this, we are the beloved. We are created just as we are by a God who loves us more than we can imagine, who will never, ever leave us alone. And when we go into the wilderness of our world and the wilderness of our souls that we try to avoid at all costs for fear of what we may find there, we can be assured that if we will make that journey, we will find the truth of who we are in the end, that we are loved beyond measure, that we are the beloved. In your journey this Lent, may you come to know the God who is always with you. And may you come to know yourself always and forever as God's beloved. Amen.